Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency Credit Canada and by Home Equity Bank, provider of the CHIP reverse mortgage. Everyone wants us to subscribe to everything forever. It used to just be like the newspaper. Now it's TV streaming and software and cloud data and razors, everything. But there is one model, all of that, it just makes me want to take a nap. But there is one model that I might be teeny tiny bit interested in, just a teeny tiny bit interested in, and that is travel, because I'm travel obsessed. And now there are these travel subscriptions. Joining us now to talk about these travel subscriptions and how they work is Adam Levinter. He is the author of The Subscription Boom. Hello there.
Bruce, how are you?
I am well. When I saw the description of a travel subscription, it just made me think of some dopey little membership. But these, what you're talking about is different. What is a travel subscription?
That depends on who the provider is. So we've seen announcements come out from hotel chains. We've seen them come from airlines. So there is a lot going on. There's even stuff happening with TripAdvisor. Underneath it all, you have a travel and tourism industry that's historically been linked to things like free points programs. But we're seeing something very different now in travel, and that's travel trying to innovate. So a lot going on.
So give me some examples here. Because when I subscribe to Netflix, I get Netflix. I don't get 20% off Netflix. Some of these subscriptions, they're relatively low dollar ring, but they provide discounts versus it's not like I pay $100 and I get as many flights as I want anywhere in the world.
Yes. So in the case of, say, Alaska Airlines, they are trying to take advantage of a number of key trends. One is that consumer sentiment related to travel is positive. Yeah. So as demand increases, airlines are trying to be innovative and hoping that subscriptions are going to lure a portion of that market. Two is these kinds of moves are indicative of a company's desire to create some sort of lock-in effect, where if you are a member or a subscriber, you are going to look to that company you're paying into before you look to an alternative. So if you're a member of, say, Alaska Airlines, and they're providing you with perks and discounts on their flights, you're going to search there before you look at, say, what Delta is providing. And three, simply these types of announcements are nice media generating strategies, if you will. Mm-hmm. So as Alaska Airlines puts out an announcement like this, the media picks it up, they find it innovative, they write about it, and so it moves the needle on brand awareness.
Would you yourself buy any of these subscriptions? Because I went through a bunch of the ideas out there and none of them were compelling to me.
No, but in fairness, you know, I'm not the target audience for something like this. And I don't want to necessarily speculate on who Alaska Airlines or who TripAdvisor is going after. But it's not necessarily me. That said, you know, I do subscribe to Amazon Prime, as do, you know, most Americans, and people value their subscription to Amazon Prime, and they're happy to pay that annual fee to get all of the value that Prime provides.
Well, I think that I really want to dig into this because I think that's the gap for me. I'm a member of Amazon Prime because I order from Amazon a couple times a year at minimum. And so it pays out. Plus I get these free TV shows. But in the travel sector, I look at some of the deals and the value equation doesn't seem like it's a fit. Or it's so high end, like the exclusive resorts membership, where it's like $175,000 for initiation. And then you get, you know, a cheaper cost on some extraordinary villa somewhere, which I am never, ever going to stay in.
Yeah, I think the value proposition is oftentimes very vague with programs like this. And to be clear, a lot of these companies are treating these programs as beta tests or pilots, if you will. So they'll say, okay, we're going to announce this new subscription, but it's only available in one or two states or in one or two provinces in Canada. And until they get data, they're not going to scale it up. This happened recently with Lululemon about a year ago with their announcement of their subscription program that was only available in Alberta or parts of Edmonton. So the company is learning alongside the consumer, and I don't think they have it all figured out. In the case of Prime, you know, Prime provides a nice blueprint for other companies to look at. And the formula is fairly simple. You have one anchor benefit. In the case of Prime, it's free shipping, plus two or more complementary benefits. So Bruce, if I asked you, you know, what do you get with your Prime membership? You probably say, okay, I get free shipping, access to Prime video and music, and then your brain sort of shuts off after that. You know, there's so much value packed into Prime, you don't even think about paying that $99 or $129 fee each year. But until companies figure out what their anchor benefit is and what their two or more complementary benefits are, I think they're still sort of experimenting.
Your business and the book is about largely consulting to firms who want to drive revenue. So on the other side of it is me, and I host a personal finance show. Where do you draw the line in terms of what's good for corporations versus what's good for your best friends? In particular, say you had a best friend who was carrying consumer debt. Would you tell them to unsubscribe to all?
Well, as a consumer, you have to look under the hood. That's the first thing. And if I ask most consumers how many subscriptions they're paying for, they might say four or five. And the number, truthfully, is two or three times that. Mm. So first, you got to look at your Visa, MasterCard, credit card statement, whatever, and look at how many subscriptions you're actually paying for. And let me be clear, a utility bill is not a subscription. Okay, so subscriptions are things that cost the same every month that you're paying into in perpetuity. It's not some sort of variable cost. So get smart as a consumer, understand how many subscriptions you're actually paying for, and then dissect which ones are the most valuable to you. So there is a bit of subscription fatigue happening. It's a real thing. We see it in streaming, for example, just to highlight just a small example. Customers for the first time are cutting the cord, not with cable, we've already done that, with or Amazon Prime Video or Disney Plus, because they're paying for four or five streaming services, and that's simply too many.
What's next? When you look ahead 5 years down the road in the world of subscriptions, what do you see? Because, you know, 5 or 10 years ago, it's the Uber of this. It's the Airbnb of that. The sharing economy was the big idea. If we say subscriptions will be even bigger, travel will experiment and some of these things will stick. What are the other categories in which subscription might be a thing?
Absolutely. I'm still bullish. Okay. Subscriptions have moved from novelty to normal. The market is just getting bigger. So UBS published a forecast of the global subscription market back in 2021. It was valued at approximately $650 billion back then. And UBS now expects it to grow to $1.5 trillion by 2025. So that's annual growth of about 18%. Plus, we've got momentum in subscription commerce that's been accelerated by a pandemic where a lot of businesses are innovating around digital and simply trying to create more customer loyalty. And subscriptions are a great way to do that because you have that recurring touch point with the consumer. So I definitely think there's more growth ahead. And in terms of your second question, what are the biggest categories? Well, I still think the biggest ones are the ones we've seen to date. So notwithstanding what we see in software as a service and streaming, product categories like vitamins and supplements, child and baby, apparel, beauty and cosmetics, personal care, leisure, beer and wine, there's a lot more growth ahead.
What is the subscription you could not possibly live without yourself?
I think Peloton is the answer to that. Okay. I'm sure it's a popular answer for a lot of people, but that would be my answer.
I would have said much more of a couch potato one. So I'm all admiration that you chose one about physical activity. I probably would have been super boring and said Netflix or Spotify. Adam, yeah. Thank you for joining us today.
Pleasure, Bruce.
Adam Levinter is the author of The Subscription Boom. And he was here to talk about all things subscription, including some of these new travel subscriptions out there.